You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Cheryl Myers, is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma. She is an integrative medicine consultant on the board of the Breast Cancer Family Foundation, and she's a member of the editorial board on for Natural Medicine Journal. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here.
So tell us, what are you researching these days?
Well, I think one of the things that's really interesting is something old that's now new again. You know, we've known for a long time the importance of a compound in the body called glutathione. It's made inside every single cell of our body, and it's made by our liver and released into the bloodstream. So from the minute you're born, your cells are bathed inside and out with glutathione. What we have found, though, is that this compound, the ability to make this compound, diminishes with age in the presence of certain diseases and certain medications and with certain genetics. And so for a long time, natural medicine practitioners have been trying to find ways to increase glutathione levels in the body. It's been an ongoing challenge because the only way it's ever been successfully demonstrated in a reliable manner was using intravenous technology, which means using IV therapy to boost those levels. But when we back up a little bit about glutathione, because some of your listeners may not have heard about this before, glutathione is considered the master antioxidant. And sometimes I fear we overuse that word antioxidant because vitamin C is an antioxidant and Brazil nuts have antioxidants and even soft drink manufacturers claim that they have antioxidants in their products. But what we don't always understand is that not all types of oxidative stress and damage respond to same antioxidants. And there are some levels of damage that's done in the body because of the way that metabolism works or environmental stressors that the only thing in the world that can quench that fully is glutathione. It's so important that your body makes it. As I said, it's made by your liver inside your cells. But by the time we're 65 years old, we're making up to 50% less than when we were in our teen years. So from an antioxidant perspective, as it starts to get lower and lower in our body, it makes us more vulnerable to damage from oxidative stress, which a lot of people feel is one of the major root causes of the aging process itself.
Are there things that we can do to help our liver produce more glutathione?
Absolutely. Number one, stay away from Tylenol, acetaminophen. That when we look at acetaminophen, it's a very commonly used over-the-counter medication. The major brand name that most people know it by is Tylenol. But acetaminophen is in a wide variety of products. So a lot of individuals will say they have chronic low back pain or some other chronic pain condition are using things like Vicodin and Percocet. And what they don't understand is that is a narcotic combined with acetaminophen. And there's several cold and flu products that also contain acetaminophen. And acetaminophen dramatically reduces the ability of the liver to make and metabolize glutathione. It probably will surprise many of your listeners to find out that acetaminophen is the number one cause of acute liver failure in America. And the way that it causes the liver cells to die is because it does interrupt this process of creating glutathione. So I often jokingly say when I'm talking to folks that there's matter and antimatter, and there's glutathione and anti-glutathione, and that would be acetaminophen. Another thing is, of course, to live as clean as possible. The more you reduce your exposure to environmental stressors, like the pesticides and herbicides that are sometimes used in our food supply or toxins that are found in air and water, the cleaner we eat, the less we stress our body's naturally occurring glutathione ratios.
You know, the Chinese say that there's a link between the liver and anger, I believe it is. You know, do these emotions play any part in the facility or reduction of glutathione production?
Well, yes, in a sort of an indirect way. You know, it used to be that, quote, real, unquote, scientists didn't believe that there was a connection between emotion and physiological changes in the body. But more enlightened and more recent scientists have found that the exact opposite is true. When you do experience a great deal of negative emotion, most of the time that causes excessive adrenal gland firing. When you cause a lot of adrenal gland firing, it creates a lot of speeder-upper types of hormones that are released in the bloodstream, and it also causes some stress on the liver, and it asks the liver to dump some of its storehouse of sugar into the bloodstream. Sugar in the bloodstream is an irritant that can cause oxidative damage and different types of stress. So whenever you do get into a huge, if you do carry a lot of anger, now, of course, you know, anger is a healthy emotion. You shouldn't try to suppress it. I'm talking about people that are chronically angry, that have anger management issues. Absolutely, you're going to put greater levels of physiological stress on your body. And when you put more stress on your body, whether it's psychological or whether it's physiological, you are going to end up with more oxidative stress.
So what happens when glutathione levels decline? Are there certain diseases that seem to pop up?
Oh, absolutely. What we see is that as glutathione levels drop, we see higher and higher incidences of especially neurological diseases. Also cancer, also other diseases, yes, but a lot of work has been done, for example, on Parkinson's disease and glutathione ratios in the body. It's not just about the amount of glutathione a person has, it's what form they carry it in. See, it couldn't be simple, could it? It has to be a little bit complicated. So it's the active form versus the inactive form. So we want to have more of the active, less of the inactive. That's called the glutathione ratio. And so we want things that move that ratio in the right direction. What they found in individuals with Parkinson's disease is not only do they have overall less circulating glutathione, but the ratio is off. They're carrying a lot more of the glutathione as inactive. In one study, again using intravenous glutathione, because previous to some recent research and development that's been done in France, that's the only way you could get consistent results, they gave IV treatments of glutathione every day for 30 days to individuals with Parkinson's disease. At the end of only 30 days, on average, the disability caused by their Parkinson's disease was reduced by a whopping 42%. Yeah. And I'm not aware of any prescription drug or any other type of therapy that can get that rapid an increase in health in individuals with a chronic neurological disease. We also see it in autism, for example. Autism and kids and adults on the autism spectrum group, we find that healthy kids who don't have neurological differences tend to have about 99% of their glutathione in the active form and only 1% in the inactive. But children on the spectrum have about 60% in the active form and 40% in the inactive form. A scientist is still trying to unlock and understand what does this mean as it plays itself out for trying to help these kids have a healthier life and better social connectivity. But we don't always know exactly how it plays out, but we do know that there is a dramatic difference between these children. Doctors have always long understood that there is a connection to liver function and to the ability to have healthy detoxification in children who have neurological differences like autism and autism spectrum disorders.
What about Alzheimer's?
You hit the nail on the head, another neurological disease. When people have Alzheimer's disease, it has been found that people with Alzheimer's have higher levels of oxidative stress and oxidative damage in the brain. They also have higher levels of inflammation in the brain than people who do not have Alzheimer's disease. So they have also found that people with Alzheimer's disease, especially people with earlier onset, also have disrupted glutathione ratios, which means less glutathione in the active form, more glutathione in the inactive form. I haven't heard of most of the chronic diseases that you see, even things like acne, Lyme's disease. People who are HIV positive have high levels of oxidative stress. Also tend to have a very disrupted ratio. A wide variety of cancers have all been shown to have as an element of that disability the fact that the glutathione is not in the right ratio, or there's not enough on board.
We're talking with Cheryl Myers. She's a researcher, and we're learning about glutathione. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about how this antioxidant can make a difference in your life.